throat.
I'm leaving that in.
Oh, you had it recorded?
Oh, shit.
Coming from the Fan Doozy Studios in Buffalo, New York, welcome to Caveman Corner with your host, Jeff.
Captain Caveman!
Thanks.
How you doing there, Ray?
Doing good, man.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, I've been selling drugs, man. I gotta make money.
That's why you're missing all the law enforcement podcasts, huh?
Yep.
Well, we got a pastor today, so he's probably not going to arrest you, but he might convert you to better ways.
I'm okay. I like the way I live in.
Yeah, you're a good dude. You take care of your girl. You take care of your family. What else? What else more can you do?
Yeah.
Maybe you could follow the law.
I do.
Stop stealing the fights.
Oh, come on.
I'm not going to let you rest. You stole that McGregor fight.
Let me ask you this. You see the UFC last night?
I did not see the UFC last night.
I didn't either.
I did watch the free stuff. I wasn't going to pay for the Ferguson fight.
Yeah, I mean, this Kevin Lee and this freaking Ferguson.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're good, but McGregor's going to finish him, I think.
You think so?
I think so.
A lot of people saying this Ferguson will give McGregor problems.
He's for real, but McGregor's...
With his ground wrestling. And
yeah, McGregor's going to find him, I think. Okay. He's just too good right now. He's at the top of his game.
Better striker than Lee.
Yeah. He's got that, like, crazy power, just like TJ's got. You know, like, when TJ hits you with that left hand, puts you out. McGregor's got that same stuff, just at a higher level. And he's got better footwork, and he can hit people with it, you know?
And, McGregor, yeah, he's a good striker. It's going to be something, though. I want to see McGregor fight again.
Your girl Pearl fought on that card, the fake boob girl?
Yeah.
That they didn't let fight in New York, but she got beat up.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Did she get punched in the boobs?
No. He's such a bad guy. We're going to have, like, holy people listening to this podcast because we've got the Reverend, or the Pastor Cameron on. And,
You're really
throwing it to the birds already.
I'm sorry, God.
Hopefully they listen to at least we get Cameron on.
I mean, you know, they forgive us. They pray for us. That's what they could do for us.
Yeah. Ray needs a lot of praying.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. We gotta find that little snot thing though, so we can plug in your phone to call somebody.
Shit,
you haven't been here so long, you forgot how to do that.
I got the phone set up, ready to go.
Ray, you have more vacation time than Jim Rome.
Fuck Jim Rome, I could whoop his ass.
You work like 4 hours. Oh man, blow us up. You work like 4 hours in a podcast, maybe, and then you take a month off, and come back. And then you're standing outside blowing me up on Facebook. I'm not here yet.
Yeah, you know, I like messing with you, K-Man. I like messing with Mickey Gaskin. I like picking on him with his poopy pants. And I like messing with you, too.
Yeah, that's part of our show. Let's
Wait a minute. You got his shorts, right? His fight shorts with the poop stain?
No, I don't have. Why would I have his fight shorts?
You had a picture of it. You remember that one time you showed me the picture?
Do I have a picture of it? I have a picture of
it. Wait, it's at the gym. Right?
What's that? The fight shorts?
Yeah, with the poops.
I don't know where they are.
Damn. Somebody showed me a picture of them. I forgot who.
That could be like a Hall of Fame plaque. You should hang up at his house.
That's what I want to do. Yeah. I want to hang it up. Hang it up in his wall.
Oh. Right. Your phone was doing something.
Oh, yeah. Somebody was calling me. My friend from Philadelphia was calling
me. I can't believe you're giving it to me for being late, since you're the guy that you're like, listen. I'm on my way, and then you check in and you're in New Jersey. I'm sitting here waiting for you. I get here at 4. 6 o'clock, you're still not here. You're I'm on my way.
I checked in a restaurant in New Jersey. Eating. K-Man waiting for me. I'm eating in New Jersey.
I know, like hours. I'm like two
like
minutes
8
late.
Hours away.
I'm 2 minutes late, and Ray is not giving me any slack at all. All right, let's try and give Cameron a call here.
All right.
Oh, can't see us.
Yes.
This is weird. You can give it up.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Okay. You see, I ain't doing it right. Oh, shit.
We're having some technical difficulties with the $100,000 studio. The lighting system is not working correctly.
Yeah, we got the east side of Buffalo's lighting system now.
The owner of the studio, Chris, must have been working on it. The brackets are off.
Caveman.
What's going on, sir? How are you, Pastor Cam?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
Good. I can't believe we got you on this podcast.
I know. I'm a little excited. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little nervous, too. But no, I'm excited. I listened to a few of it. I've been following it since you've been posting it online and everything. And so listened to a few here and there, and enjoy it. You guys do a really good job. So,
thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, cool thing for being there. And stop calling me Pastor.
Okay.
We can call him the Lionheart. He likes the Lionheart.
Okay, the Lionheart. Okay.
Yeah. Cameron is fine, too. So,
One of your training partners, Jay Wadsworth, put out a DVD, the 92 Guard, and I heard you're releasing a DVD, the counter to the 92 Guard.
Yeah, it is just in production right now. I say it's just finishing up production. We're just doing some final touch-ups on the edit. It's going to be a pretty comprehensive strategy on how to smash that guard. Really all it takes is like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days of jiu-jitsu, and and then you pretty much have all the tools that you need in order to pass that guard.
So you think you think Ray could pass his guard?
I don't think Ray would have even the slightest bit of difficulty passing that guard. No. Not at all. I mean, it's fun to bust on Jay. And one of the reasons that it's fun to bust on Jay is because he dishes it out just about as good as he can take it. But in all honesty, I haven't seen the DVD and how it's produced and like the flow of techniques and everything like that. But obviously, Jay is one of my main training partners, and especially in the gi, we have some really good training sessions. He just crushes me in no gi, but in the gi, which is what I like to train in jiu-jitsu, we have some really knockout drag out kind of matches. And it can give you a lot of trouble. If you don't know how to deal with it, or you don't know what he's trying to do, and it is an awkward position. If you don't know what he's trying to go for, it can get you in trouble really, really quick. So, I'll bust on Jay and tell people all the time. Every time I see the DVD, I teach him how to pass that guard, and he can. No guard is impassable, but it is. It really is a good position, and if someone's looking for, something new, but something that's not crazy, it's not like upside down reverse deli heave a barambolo type of stuff. It's a pretty simple position, 2-on-1, foot in the hip. I would recommend it. It's good stuff. So
Ray probably gets a good deal of one that fell off a truck. You better look out.
Or go to Chinatown.
Yeah, it'd probably be like dubbed over in Russian, but it's still good technique. So,
Ray, we're lucky to have Ray on this podcast, since he doesn't come on for any law enforcement officers. But at least we could get you on, some of the kinetics guys on with Ray, because most of these guys are all law enforcement, so it's tough.
Oh man, I tell you what, yeah, if we're not, yeah, we're, it's a law enforcement heavy, school, and I guess depending on who you are, and and your perception or opinion of police officers or the legal system in general, it can really determine whether or not, you know, we're good people to train with or not. I try to stay out of that whole debate. But yeah, we do have quite a few officers that train at Kinetics. It's a big part of our membership. Obviously, I'm not a police officer, but our other two head instructors, jiu-jitsu instructors at least, are police officers, defensive tactics instructors, and then of course you guys know and everyone knows Crew Mark, who teaches or who runs our Muay Thai program. So yeah, I mean, if you can get past the police officer thing, it's a great place to train jiu-jitsu, I'll tell you that much.
Ray's shaking his head no, but Kinetics is a great place to train. I try and get out there as much as I can. Crew Mark is another amazing guy, and all the guys from Kinetics are pretty really high morally standing people. I love it. Cameron, obviously, he's highly moral standing. Josh Roth. I really don't know Jay Wadsworth that great, but everything I've seen of him shows me that he's a really high moral character guy as well. Crew Mark. Like, you can go down the line, and every one of these guys are like family. They're all really tough guys, and they're all really moral. I really like training out there.
Cool. Yeah, you know, I think there's this, we always hear the perception that jiu-jitsu is a douchebag filter, and in some cases it is. In other cases, it's not so much. But I can honestly say, the current crop of students, people that we have at Kinetics, there's no one I wouldn't trust to be around my kids. Let me put it like that. Personal preference and opinions on lifestyles and worldviews and occupations aside, it's a pretty decent place in terms of just the environment. But I also think that we, not just from a moral standpoint or like a ethical standpoint or that type of person you are, but just in terms of if you want a good training environment, if you want good hard training, we have former collegiate wrestlers, very accomplished collegiate wrestlers, excellent jiu-jitsu practitioners and instructors. Of course, excellent Muay Thai instructors, and just all around kind of like a, I guess you call it a small town jiu-jitsu atmosphere, although I'm not even really sure what that means, but I think you get the point.
So. Hey, this brings an interesting question to me. As a pastor, have you ever run into a point where your morality is questioned on the mat? Maybe you run into a situation where people are talking about things that you don't think is quite right, and being a black belt instructor, do you get preachy with what you believe, or do you kind of step out? It's like a probably interesting problem to have, correct?
Well, it can be interesting, I guess. It really depends on how any person would view their responsibility in terms of the morality of another person. Just because I have a certain worldview, just because I have a very definitive perspective by which I live my life and that I see the world and I interact with other people, something that defines my relationships and my family and my job and really all of my life, obviously, is my faith. But my faith is my faith. It's not a private thing. I don't say that my faith is private and that I keep it to myself and I don't share anything about it or I don't let it affect my outward life. That's kind of a contradiction in terms just in itself, but it is a personal thing, right? And so, when I step on the mat, at Kinetics, I don't step on the mat with the sole purpose of you know, enforcing, talk about law enforcement, enforcing some type of, you know, morality police on my students, or on my training partners, for a couple different reasons. One, I don't find it to be particularly helpful or effective, you know. Not many people that I know, myself included, end up changing behaviors or changing, you know, lifestyles or changing their way of living because someone called them out for something that they were doing, you know, like the unsolicited life coaching advice usually falls on deaf ears. And so if I'm just approaching it from just a, like, what is most effective, what is most, you know, what works the best in terms of making a positive influence or having an impact on someone's life morally or ethically, I don't find that, you know, creating or, you know, like putting yourself in the position of being the moral police really does a good job at that. Now, that being said, all of my students, you know, they know who I am. They know what I'm about. And they know what I'm not about, you know. So they're generally pretty respectful of the fact that, you know, hey, this is who Cam is and this is who he's not. And so, you know, you'll catch guys in the middle of technique or in the middle of training and they'll swear or something like that. and I'll be walking next to them or I'll even be rolling with them or whatever the case may be, or even in conversation, they'll immediately, like, you know, put their hand over their mouth and say, you know, apologize, and as if I have some kind of moral compunction against swearing or something like that, or that, you know, it's going to hurt my virgin ears to hear the F word, or that's just not the case. You know, my faith is more than just it's not just a moral code. It's not just a list of do this and don't do this and you will have either made the grade or failed the grade. You know, I think that God is much less uptight than Christians make him out to be. And that's an unfortunate reality a lot of the times, but it's a reality that we live with. So I mean, yeah, my students know obviously that I'm a pastor, and but I don't, you know, I don't push any of that on them. I think if you were to ask any of them, and I think if you once this podcast hits Facebook and they see it, you can they're more than welcome to chime in on that. But that's not to say that, you know, in the midst of me just being present at the academy and living my life in the, I mean, just in a certain way, whether you agree with the way I live my life or not, you know, it does present me with opportunities to speak into some of my students' lives at some pretty critical, you know, at some pretty critical points in their life. You know, one of the awesome things about jiu-jitsu, I think at least, you know, everyone does jiu-jitsu, everyone loves jiu-jitsu for different reasons, but one of the amazing things about jiu-jitsu is the camaraderie that is developed with consistent training partners. And my belief about why that camaraderie is developed so strongly and so quickly is because of how vulnerable we are when we step on the mat, and how vulnerable we are as people when we do jiu-jitsu. I mean, you know, it's a, you know, kind of a funny statement about jiu-jitsu is we're simulating murder, you know, every time you put a choke on me, right? Even in demonstration and I'm showing a choke on one of my students or something like that. They're literally, and we should never take this for granted, they're literally trusting us with their lives. because we could kill them, you know? And we don't often take our understanding of jiu-jitsu to that extreme. But I think that there's something like innately within each of us that understands the depth of the vulnerability that we're in situations and in moments like that. And it creates a bond with our training partners that's really hard to break. And so when they have difficult, really difficult seasons in their lives. So I had one of my training partners recently lost his father to sickness, and a difficult thing that in the loss of a loved one, you know, no matter what your faith background or faith persuasion, or if you have some faith or no faith or a little faith or whatever the case may be, you know, there was one person in the academy that guy wanted to talk to when he had questions about life and death and grief, and when he was angry at God and when he didn't understand it. And of course, I don't have all the answers. I don't pretend to have all the answers, but it gave me who I was and who I chose, the way I chose to carry myself in the life of the academy as a whole, gave me an opportunity to be someone in his life that he needed at that point. You know, students going through divorce or sickness themselves or problems with their kids or just anxiety in general. Like, man, I started jiu-jitsu, but I'm so anxious about life. I'm so scared about life. I guess that's a really super long answer to a pretty simple question about whether or not my morals and my faith come into practice or come into play on the mat. I would say yes, they do.
Cursing this podcast.
But
Ray's been holding that in the whole time you're talking. He's like, he's got his hand up. He's like, ah!
but you know, normally, if it comes out in a very explicit way, it's because someone asks me. It's because someone strikes up a conversation with me. You know, if I am carrying myself, living my life in a way that is admirable to others, morally, ethically, religiously, whatever the case may be, then when situations arise that I could speak into them, or I could be an influence, then I don't really have to push myself into the situation.
Yeah, that's an awesome answer. I had a Catillus on his podcast, and he questioned whether or not I stand up for what I morally believe in at times at the academy I go to. And it was a tough question to answer for me, and I think you eloquently answered the question almost the same way that I believe in. I don't like to push what I believe on other people too, but I think by exposing yourself and being open to letting people see what your life's look like and how you lead your life, it kind of leads by example as opposed to being really preachy about it.
Yeah, and everyone's going to have a different viewpoint on whether or not, you know, you should be really preachy about something or whether or not you should just lead by example. And certainly there are instances and there are times where, you know, I think there's a difference between being preachy about something and laying down in the face of something that you find to be extremely immoral. And, you know, obviously, if I was faced with a real moral dilemma when I stepped on the mat between what I believe and what was happening, or what was doing, or what was going on there, then, you know, then I would do what I would have, then I would do what I have to do. But I think many times people just want, they use the excuse of, well, I'm standing up for what I believe to be right, or I'm standing up for a certain sense of morality. And I'm not saying this has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Catillus whatsoever. I love Mike. He's a great, great man. I respect him a great deal. But sometimes people use their moral compass as just, that's just an excuse to be a dick, honestly, you know, because, you know, morality, which we could get into a long conversation about the difference between morality and faith. I believe that there is one. But morality is pretty subjective, you know? And what you think to be right and moral is a lot different than what other people think to be right and moral. And, you know, listening to a lot of your podcasts, and I know you and I have talked about, you know, okay, okay, man, what are you going to ask me when I get on this thing, you know, and make me look like an idiot or something like that, you know? But I know that, you know, the question of Chuck comes up a lot, you know? And for good reason, I understand why it does. You know, I think that a lot of the conversation that goes around or goes on about Chuck, I'm not defending anything he has done or may have done or haven't done or whatever. I'm not saying it's not a value judgment at all. What I'm just saying is that, you know, human beings do a really good job of playing fast and loose with the subjectivity of morality. And it's not always very consistent. And I guess, you know, if you're comfortable with not having a consistent moral compass, then that's fine. But I think that we would do well to be either super consistent in our lives morally or just have a little bit more grace with people. So I don't know what the question was, but that's my thought.
Hey, how did a pastor like yourself get into jiu-jitsu?
Well, it's sort of a long story. So when I got out of college, I played collegiate soccer, and was always really competitive, in life. So I ran track and, played soccer in high school and then went to college to play soccer. And then got out of college in 2004, and in Jamestown where I live, there's like no really legitimately competitive adult leagues for soccer. There's an indoor league, but it goes on Sunday mornings, and obviously being a pastor, doesn't work for me. So I had no competitive outlet my whole life. I had been a grinder, you know, like super conditions, super hardworking, like just really good shape. And then I graduated college, I got married, and like everything just fell off the radar. And I felt like a really big part of, you know, who I was missing. So, going back even further, probably one of the first persons to hold me after I was born, way back in 1982.
Youngin, you're a youngin, 1982. Oh my
God. 81 for me.
You're a youngin too.
One of the first persons to hold me when I was born back then was a guy by the name of Mark Shaw. And everyone around here knows him as Crew Mark.
God, how old is Crew Mark?
Grandpa. Old.
He's friggin' old. But he, you know, he was one of my parents' best friends. And so he's, you know, he's literally known me my whole life. I've known him my whole life. And so in the absence of that competitive outlet, I reached out to him and been like, hey, can I just come over and hit the mitts with you? Teach me how to kickbox, you know. And so he said, of course. And so I was doing Muay Thai in Crew Mark's living room before I ever started jiu-jitsu, before I had my first jiu-jitsu lesson at all. And it was just kind of the evolution of, like, you know, punching, kicking, kneeing, elbow, time with Mark, you know, talk about the martial arts and everything, that I got interested in jiu-jitsu. And so I did a quick Google search, of course, ran into a forum, the old Western New York MMA forums, and posted a question on there about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Jamestown, New York area, and Chuck Anzalone replied and said, you know, I live in Jamestown. I have a small academy here, you know, stop in for a class. And so I went to my first Jiu-Jitsu class September 15th, 2006, and went just as a, you know, as a means to stay active, to be competitive, not even in the sense of like the competition scene, but just, you know, like working hard, becoming better, staying in shape, having that, you know, kind of that team atmosphere or mentality. And really, so that's how I got into it. And looking back, you know, 11 years ago now in my first jiu-jitsu lesson, I never would have dreamed that I would have been a black belt. And if you ask my wife as well, who's a beautiful, compassionate, supporting, life partner to me.
I gotta jump in real quick for 1 second here. Okay. I'm not sure that your wife ages, because when we go back and we look at all the pictures of you when you look young before you start getting older, you know, a little heavier,
yeah.
She looks exactly the same from, like, the first pictures that you guys have together till now, and you just keep getting older. Are you sure she's not immortal or something?
Dude, I tell her that marriage to me is like drinking out of the fountain of youth. So it's all about being married to me, and that's why she's staying so young. But yeah, no, she's beautiful. She's more beautiful now than the day I married her and the day I met her in junior high. So, you know, I'm so grateful, and I'm so grateful that God brought her into my life, and that, you know, we've been married for 13 years this past summer, and just an amazing woman and an amazing mother to our 5 kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's great. She's awesome. But if you would have asked her, still now, if you ask her about jiu-jitsu and me, you know, she would have told you, yeah, I thought it would just be a fad, you know, cause I have rooms and boxes full of fads that I've started and stopped, you know? But this seems to be just one of those things that stuck. And I credit a lot of that to having training partners who loved jiu-jitsu as well. And pushed and wanted to train and were always calling me to train. And, I credit a lot of that. This will be an unpopular opinion, I think, with a lot of people, but I credit a lot of, that to Chuck. And super appreciative to him for jiu-jitsu. And not only for jiu-jitsu, for introducing me to jiu-jitsu and teaching me jiu-jitsu, but to a style of jiu-jitsu that I really love and really enjoy, you know, kind of the Carson Gracie style, Carson Gracie lineage, which of course Kinetics is a part of. I kind of just fell into it, honestly.
I'm going to jump in here and interrupt you a little bit and ask some questions about Chuck real quick. I wanted to give you a break on the other time. But are you on good terms with Chuck right now, or did you get in kind of bad terms when you went over to Kinetics?
No. You know, Chuck and I really have never had, like, a big blow-up or falling out or anything like that. Honestly, at least not that I recall, and I bear no ill will to Chuck at all, like zero. I would train with him even still to this day. You know, if he would have me, I would train with him. I don't, you know, like whether or not I'd be a student at his academy or what, I don't know. I mean, jiu-jitsu is different now than it was when we first started, and so there's lots of options and lots of academies, but no, I don't, I bear nothing ill against Chuck. I appreciate what he did in introducing me to jiu-jitsu. I appreciate what he taught me. I appreciate the way he treated me. You know, Chuck treated me well. he really did. He was respectful of me. We had what I considered to be a friendship. You know, he was my instructor, but we didn't just talk about jiu-jitsu. We didn't just do jiu-jitsu type of things. You know, we had a lot of conversations about family. We had a lot of conversations about faith. We had a lot of conversations about life in general, and no, we didn't always agree, but I don't know anyone, any two people that always agree on everything. And you know, when Chuck, you know, I think if anyone would say that there was a falling out between Chuck and I mean, you may, what really happened was when Carson came, you know, I've got the benefit of being one of Chuck's, you know, like I'm an OG when it comes to Chuck. Like, not many people trained in the garage, you know. You know, not many people were training when freaking Jordan Schultz and Matt Godden were white belts, you know. Like we trained together as white belts, and so I've known Chuck for a long, long, long time. And what really happened is when he first brought Carson here, you know, Carson told him, bro, you got to get out of Jamestown. Your academy should be in Buffalo. That's where the people are. Chuck's family's here in Jamestown. And so I mean, he stuck it out here for a while, you know, trained out of his garage here. Man, I learned a lot of friggin' jiu-jitsu in that garage. trained out of his garage here, but eventually, you know, even Chuck knew that if he wanted to make a living off of jiu-jitsu, he was going to have to move full-time to Buffalo, which he did. He opened his academy there, and I still trained with him as much as I could. You know, I would go up to the academy maybe twice a week or so, but the reality is that as my life, you know, as I started having kids, my job got more busy. You know, my ability to drive an hour and a half one way to train for 2 hours and then drive an hour and a half back, you know, like my schedule just didn't allow that type of time commitment anymore. And so when Josh Ross, opened his academy here in Jamestown and asked, and, you know, hey, you want to come train? You want to come be a part of the gym? You know, I said, yeah. I mean, given an opportunity to train, and I talked to Chuck about it honestly, and I said, you know, hey, I'm gonna, you know, my training was already, you know, kind of like tapering off. I wasn't training as much, and he was noticing that, and he was always on my balls about it. Of course, he wants me to train more, and I want to train more, but it was just the reality of life. It wasn't going to happen. And so he, you know, I finally said, you know, well, what do you think about me training with Josh? And he said, you know, I would rather have you train with Josh than not train at all.
Right.
And so I did, and that was the, you know, that was the kind of the end of it. But I haven't seen Chuck, I don't think, in a few years. I saw him at a Buffalo tournament a couple years ago, maybe a year and a half ago or so, but that's the last time I've seen him. But we're always friendly, and unless I'm missing something or unless he knows something that I don't, you know, I don't bear any ill will against him or anything like that. I'm nothing but appreciative for him, for what he taught me in jiu-jitsu and him, you know, just introducing me to jiu-jitsu in general. So
I kind of echo your same sentiments. I'm actually not on good terms with Chuck because I left when the Victory split and went to WNY MMA, and I left with Coach Herbert. But Chuck was always all right with me. He always took care of me. I've eaten dinner at his house. My wife and his girlfriend Beth were always friendly. I have a lot of great things to say about Chuck as well. I don't think he gets a fair shake sometimes, but I think some of that he brings on himself by being so outspoken as well. Do you give him credit for bringing jiu-jitsu to Buffalo? This is what I'm kind of arguing a little bit with the community. I think that he did bring jiu-jitsu here, and he should deserve the credit for it. A lot of people say that someone would have brought it here first, but he did bring it here first, and he made jiu-jitsu in Buffalo a reality.
Yeah, you know, was there ever anyone in Buffalo who did jiu-jitsu before Chuck did jiu-jitsu? Well, yeah, of course there was. You know, he's not, you know, he's not the Mitsuyu Maeda of jiu-jitsu in Buffalo. Like, there was people who did or who had participated in some form of jiu-jitsu in Buffalo area or in Western New York before Chuck did. But that's a lot different than saying that they brought jiu-jitsu to Buffalo, you know. I think, you know, the spirit of the question, did Chuck bring jiu-jitsu to Buffalo, is when did jiu-jitsu finally have a scene in Buffalo? You know, when did the jiu-jitsu scene finally hit Buffalo? And, of course, it was with Western New York MMA and Chuck. I just don't see how anyone else can say that there was another defining moment or defining instructor or, you know, person who was the pioneer of the jiu-jitsu movement in Buffalo. You know, that's silly to me, you know. You look at jiu-jitsu in Buffalo now or in Western New York in general, and I was listening to your podcast with Jay, and, you know, I try not to agree with anything Jay says on principle, but he, you know, he's right, you know, that like 90% of the jiu-jitsu academies in Buffalo trace their lineage back in some way, or not their lineage, but at least their jiu-jitsu experience back in some way to being affiliated with or associated with or coming out of their experience training jiu-jitsu with Chuck. So if you want to say that, you know, someone else brought jiu-jitsu to Buffalo and Chuck did it, I would like to know who that person is.
And videos don't count. Black Panther videos.
Right. Yeah, no, like that's just, it's asinine. And people want to say, well, Chuck didn't bring it to Buffalo because they don't like Chuck. Well, it doesn't matter if you like the guy or not. The reality is the reality.
Right.
And in the end, who freaking cares who brought it? It's here, you know. Let's forget about who brought it. Let's worry about who's going to carry it forward. Let's worry about what the future of jiu-jitsu is going to hold, and the future of Buffalo and jiu-jitsu, rather than, you know, how it started or how it came or who did this or who did that. Yeah, I mean, and I get it. People don't like Chuck. And they don't want to have anything good to say about him. That's fine. Like, I get it. You know, he said, I've eaten at his table too, you know.
Right.
I know Mary Beth. She treated me very well. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I think of it in, like, these terms, you know, when... A lot of people don't like Chuck because they believe that he's a bad representative of, like, the morality or code of martial arts that a martial artist should have. At least that's my read on the situation. You know, there could be other reasons that people dislike him.
I like Chuck. I like how he's just telling how it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of people that are willing to do that, you know, or that do so on a consistent basis. But, you know, I think that in general is the problem that people have with him, is that they don't think that he's a good representative of a martial artist or a true martial arts way. And I'm not a student of martial arts. I was never a martial artist before. I don't get my moral code or my way of living or my lifestyle choices. I don't draw those off of martial arts. And so my opinion on the martial arts way or the ethical, stance of a martial artist is maybe, you know, not the best one to base your belief or understanding on, because the reality is I didn't walk into that garage on 15th Street in Jamestown looking for looking for a master or a sensei to teach me the meaning of life.
Now, with jiu-jitsu and traditional martial arts, the with the respect thing is like, you know, with karate, you go on the mat, you bow down to everybody, bow down to the flags, and jiu-jitsu is not really like that.
I think there's aspects of that, of jiu-jitsu that there is, but what I'm talking about more is like, you know, that everyone thinks that, that there's just this moral code that martial artists live by, you know, respect, dignity, honor, compassion towards your fellow man. All great, admirable, wonderful things. I get it. Yeah, I'm with you on it. But I never walked into jiu-jitsu being like, oh man, I'm really, I have a mess of my life. And I really need some moral guidance. And so I'm going to go into martial arts. And then that's going to, you know, give me a new lifestyle or a new way of living or whatever. Now, if you go into martial arts thinking like, man, I really need like some ethical direction. I really need a new worldview. I really need to be taught how to live, how to respect people, how to honor, how to have integrity, blah, 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 blah. If you go into it with like, that's what I want to get out of it, then yeah, maybe based on the subjectivity of your own morality, you might not find Chuck to be the best example, right? But if you just want to learn jiu-jitsu, he'll teach you jiu-jitsu.
Yep.
You know, if you just want to learn, and no one's going to say Chuck's jiu-jitsu is bad. And no one's going to say Chuck isn't a good teacher.
He breaks it down so well. I mean, you can see that his level white to blue belts seem to be a little bit higher in area just because they're a little bit better at every little thing, a little bit more technical in every aspect of their jiu-jitsu. Although our guys are pretty damn tough. I don't know if I would say that anymore.
Now, you think it's just because of the Kyle Gracie? He coming from the Gracies directly?
Maybe it could have a lot to do with it. I really don't know. It could be just he's very good at jiu-jitsu, very good at seeing it. It could be
he's smart,
you know, a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
it's hard to tell if it's I was gonna say it's hard to tell if it's because he directly trained under Carlson or just because he's good at seeing jiu-jitsu.
Right.
Well, I think that's part of it. You know, it could be a little bit of both. I think some people are naturally really good teachers, and I think that's one of Chuck's strong points, is that he's smart and he's articulate, and he knows how to take what he knows and communicate it to others. You say all the time, there's people that are good at doing jiu-jitsu and there's people that are good at teaching jiu-jitsu, and there's some people that are good at both. Jay is good at doing jiu-jitsu. Okay? He's a good teacher, too. Right, I'm not taking that away from him. Jay's a good teacher, but in my opinion, like, Jay is a much better competitor than he is teacher of jiu-jitsu. Me, I suck as a competitor of jiu-jitsu. Like, I am not good at competing. I don't compete enough. I don't have enough experience. I lose my head. Like, but I can teach jiu-jitsu way better than I compete. And I think that Chuck is just one of those people that is just really, really good at understanding how to communicate the complexity of jiu-jitsu and what to do. So that's why I think he's successful at creating or building students that are, you know, that have found success. But I don't know. I'm not sure so far if this podcast is more about me or Chuck. So,
well, Chuck is good for selling the podcast. So we can move on from Chuck. But go ahead, Ray.
Okay. Rumor has it you lost to the caveman. Now is caveman going to hell for beating you?
Well, the jury's still out on that. I did indeed lose to the caveman. Yeah, I don't know. Was it a year ago or was it a year and a half ago?
A year and a half ago.
I don't know.
I did almost get DQ'd for talking to Cameron.
Yeah, we were kind of bantering back and forth during the match. Yeah, caveman beat me. I think I don't know what it was. It was ended up being like 9-0 or something like that. I think I was still brown. I was definitely still a brown belt at the time. It was a fun match, though.
It was the most
fun. I had a good match.
It was the most fun I've ever had competing in jiu-jitsu, to be 100% honest with you. It was the most fun ever.
Yeah. Right. Well, because, you know, like, a lot of times when you get in jiu-jitsu matches, like, I just had a match with Gray Henderson at this last tournament, and I don't remember any of it. I can't recall like any of it because I get so tense and I get so like out of my mind. But I don't know, there was just something about that match that you and I had where it's just like I was relaxed. I remember like I kind of flowed a little bit more. I had fun. I wasn't worried about anything. So yeah, you know, the big guy upstairs and I have been talking about what possibly could be some repercussions for Caveman not letting me finish the triangle. I had him in.
No one can finish that triangle on me.
Yeah, I should have remembered that. Yep. I remember it now.
I was going to say, we got to get back. We were going to do that $50 challenge match at the next one. We got to talk to Josh and set it up. If I lose, I'll give $50 to your church, and if you lose, you give $50 to my charity. We got to make that happen still. That was the most fun open role we ever had. It was just like training. I loved it. I want to do it again, but make it mean something.
Yeah, I'm totally down with that. I think some charity, like
I think if you beat K-Man, be Bible study, K-Man need it.
I'd be totally down for that. I'd be totally down.
So. All right, we'll talk to Josh. We're gonna make that happen. Ray, you still owe me. You bet me $10 that I couldn't tap you in 10 minutes. So we still need to do that.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And you did it right in our BJJ forum too. So you made me look bad, and then you ghosted. You disappeared. Like you always do.
And we're going to do it live on Facebook, too.
Yeah, live on Facebook. Yep. All right.
Awesome. Yeah.
I got a question for you. Actually, you're one of the reasons why I came back to the church, because I had some bad experiences with the church in my past. And I started rolling with you, and I found out you were a pastor, and you got these tattoos all over you. And you used to smash me on top, dude. When you got on top, you had the fiercest top control. No one could ever get out from your top control. I remember that when you were a blue belt and I was a white belt and you were sticking it to me. And I never forgot that. Actually, I was a little worried to let you on top in our match because of that. But I was moved by your morality, and I ended up coming out to your church, and I enjoyed it, and I feel the spirit of God in your church a little bit.
Cool.
And then talking with Mark and going there, and then we came on Easter with my wife, and I just felt God that time. Do you have any problems because you do jiu-jitsu, because you have tattoos, and then, you know, with your church, the people that come to your church, your parishioners, or even, you know, some of the higher-ups and the church here? I don't even know how churches work, to be honest with you, but when you start a church, the people that run a church or pay the bills, or do you have any problems along those lines?
You know, there's always a few people who have a really immovable view of what a pastor should look like and the type of things that a pastor should do and the type of things that a pastor should say or not say. And, you know, those types of people, they exist in every avenue of life and every aspect of life. And so, yeah, I do have people who, you know, will consistently question decisions that I make or things that I say or the way that I look. I'm very blessed to be serving a church right now that is not like that at all, and you know, loves me and respects me and understands that my heart for the Lord and my heart for people does and should always far outweigh maybe whatever hobby I like to do, jiu-jitsu, for example, or whether or not I have a tattoo on my arm. Honestly, the vast majority of people that I interact with, and I have a very unique church here in Jamestown. you know, it's different than the church that you attended, Jeff, when you and Karis and Forrest came down. You know, I left that church, not for anything bad, but I, you know, had a desire to plant my own church or start my own church in on the north side of the city of Jamestown, which is typically a very poor part of the city. And so I you know, typically the people that I interact with, the people that I try to spend most of my time with, are not people who have a really traditional understanding or perspective on what a pastor should look like or be, or anything like that. And so when we meet and we're able to, you know, have conversation, and I'm able to learn about their life and they're able to learn about mine, the fact that I am a seemingly normal person, right? That I don't, you know, I don't walk around with a halo and a white flowing robe, you know. I don't demand, you know, that you act or speak a certain way when you're around me because I'm a pastor, or that you can only, you know, I only talk to you in King James Version Bible language or anything like that. You know, like there's a certain part of just being a normal person that people find extremely refreshing when it comes to me. I don't, you know, I'm not the way I am as a tool to disarm people. But I just don't think that I should try and be someone that I'm not, in order to, get a voice with someone who is just going to find something else to be wrong with me as soon as they get to talk to me. I would much rather, just be myself and love people, and show genuine concern for them and be an encourager in their life and desire God's best for them and God's best for their kids and their family and just go about that doing jujitsu and having tattoos and letting God sort out whether or not, you know, my appearance or the way that I carry myself or who I am as a person. I'll let God sort out whether or not that's going to be an issue in someone else's life or not. My experience is that it hasn't, you know. I think that the way that we treat people speaks so much louder than our appearance. And people might make initial judgments about who we are or, you know, the type of people that we are because of what they see on the outside. But if you take an opportunity to show genuine concern for who they are, to give them grace about who they are, you know, not everyone is who even they want to be. So why would we expect everyone to be who we want them to be? You know, if you can give a little bit of grace to people and not be so uncomfortable with their brokenness that it causes you to do and say things that are hurtful or stupid or out of line, then you're just going to get a lot further in life. I believe you make a much bigger impact, positive impact in people's lives when you can be comfortable. You can be comfortable with the fact that not everyone is going to be the same as you. Not everyone is going to look the same as you. Not everyone is going to have the same, you know, feelings or beliefs about certain things as you. Some people are going to like tattoos. Some people are going to think they're of the devil. Some people are going to, you know, they're going to like jujitsu. Some people are going to think it's violent and gay. You know, some people are going to like Chuck and some people are going to not like Chuck and not want anything to do with them. And if we could all just agree that there are really more important things, in life than that, and then we would all do a lot better off. People think they got all kinds of problems until they meet someone that has a real problem. And in my line of work, in the area of the city that I work in and that my church is in. I tell you what, you know, like the level of brokenness that I see in the human condition itself staggers the mind. The amount of drug addiction, abuse, children without fathers, you know, children without people who love them, children who go without food, you know, communities just completely broken by mental health and drug abuse, and you know, those are real problems. And our problems of like, well, I don't like what this guy did when he was a Marine 20 years ago. So, you know, therefore I'm going to take a hardline stance on it. I mean, okay, I get it. But I just, honestly, I got bigger fish to fry. I got more important things to think about, more important things to involve myself in. So, you know, that's kind of my final word on that.
I got two questions for you. How you feel about Donald Trump? And did you ever invite like your church member to train jiu-jitsu?
Those are like two crazy different questions, but I love it, right?
Two crazy different questions, yeah. What do I think about Donald Trump? Nothing, honestly, nothing surprises me about him. You know, anyone that thinks that he was going to be different as a president than he was when he wasn't a president, you know, is crazy. I think he's doing exactly what he said he would do. In terms of his challenge of the status quo, his challenge of the establishment, and of course, there's things probably that he wants to accomplish that he can't accomplish just because of the way our system is functions. But I don't know. I think he's kind of a knucklehead, personally. But you know, he's our president, and that's just the way it is. And I don't know. I really don't have an opinion on it other than that. Anyone that thought they were getting, a really professional, regal type of president when they voted for, you know, the host of The Apprentice is crying out loud. You know, you get what you pay for, people.
Ray's just upset because he doesn't want to get sent home.
Church members and jiu-jitsu, I invite people to train jiu-jitsu all the time.
Cool.
You know, I do have a few church members that train. I've had a few people who have asked, you know, they ask like kind of the impromptu, like, will you teach my daughter how to defend herself, or will you teach my son how to, you know, like do this or whatever, he's getting bullied or so on and so forth. And we'll always recommend jiu-jitsu as a martial art, as a way of learning self-defense, whether you're in my church or not. But yeah, I've got members of my church that train jiu-jitsu that have tried it. Some like it. Some don't. Most people don't understand it, and that's fine with me. But yeah, I mean, the church I serve is pretty big, so it is like there's a whole swath of different types of people. But yeah, there's a handful of people who train, and I would always encourage people. I would never discourage anyone from coming and trying out a class, stepping on the mat, bringing their kids, having their kids exposed to jiu-jitsu. I think it's a great thing, and that everyone, no matter what age, can benefit from. So
awesome. I agree with that 200%, and that's one of the reasons why I coach the kids class. If you're in Jamestown, go check out Kinetic's kid class. Their kids class is off the chain. Every one of their kids are really good. They do a great job. They got black belts coaching them. If you're in the Buffalo area, come check me out over at Western New York MMA. Yeah, I promise to do a good job with your kids.
My son is definitely going to UK, man.
All right. Yeah, Jamestown's a long drive. I used to make that drive myself. What church are you at now, Cam? Can you give the location? And for all my listeners, if you have any interest in ever going to a church, you should go watch Cameron preach one time, because when he talks about the Bible, he breaks it down into like layman's language, like where I can understand. And I'm not too smart, so if I can get it, you know Cameron's doing a good job explaining.
You know what?
It.
I need to go to church. I ain't been to church in a long time.
Come with me. I'll take you, and then I'll take you out to dinner.
Okay.
Let's go. You this time you got to do it, not like with the football girl. You didn't buy her tickets.
I'm going to listen. This season's coming up. It's a new season coming up, and we go definitely go to that one.
All right.
We're going to go to Pittsburgh.
And we're going to go to Cam's church after he gives us the location here.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love to have you guys there. Okay, so the name of the church is Conduit, you know, like electrical conduit, Conduit Ministries. And so if you go online, it's www.conduitministries.com. And we have two locations in the city of Jamestown. One is at 120 Delaware Ave, which is on the corner of Delaware and Newland on the southwest side of the city. And then the location that I pastor at, or that I kind of am in charge of, is Conduit North on the north side of the city. Man, I should have said this earlier because we could have had a lot of interesting conversation about this, but the church that I pastor meets in a laundromat. And so we meet in Papa Joe's laundromat at 238 East 2nd Street in the city of Jamestown, and we meet on Saturday nights at 5 o'clock. So Conduit at 120 Delaware, Conduit Ministries meets Sunday mornings, kind of like traditional church time, 10 a.m. But Conduit North meets Saturdays at 5 o'clock, really community-based, ministry and church that really is committed to the well-being of our city and really committed to the well-being of every group of people, every person that walks through our doors, we believe is a child of God, and no matter where they're coming from or what they've been through or what they've experienced, you know, God's love is big enough to love them, even if they don't feel like they can be loved. So we want people to know that. So would love to have any and everyone, you know, even my students here at Kinetics who may be listening to this, who have escaped my proselytizing preaching on the mat, you know, knowing that they're always invited to come, and that, you know, it's an experience. It's an experience that you will not soon forget, and I believe by faith that, you know, that God will use it to change your life, even if you come in skeptical of what it might be or could be or is or anything like that. But yeah, Caveman, you got to come down, man. Help us do some laundry for people, man. We do free laundry for people here in the city. Laundry's expensive, and not everyone can afford a washer or dryer in their own home. And so a lot of times they go without, you know, they go without clean clothes. They go without, to go with clothes that are dirty or that smell. And
oh wow, come on, K-Man, let's help
you know out. We take it for granted, you know, most of us middle class
would mm-hmm. this knock out some of the sins?
I mean you know what? I'll put in a good word for you.
Okay. I would definitely help out.
Yeah, it's a great thing, you know, having clean clothes. You would imagine the sense of just dignity that it restores to a person.
Oh yeah.
To know that man, I can put on a clean shirt, I can put on a clean pair of underwear today. You know, we got kids running around the city, man, with no shoes. No shoes, bro. This is America, you know, 21st century. You know, tell me, I'm not gonna let any kids in my city walk around with no shoes, without clothes, without a winter coat. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know, we got people arguing over stupid shit, and we got kids going without food and without clothes. And man, like, we get our priorities straight. So that's a word to the church, as well as just humanity in general. Like, freaking find yourself, man. It's real life. It's real life out there. So,
well, we're gonna come up on a Saturday. I don't know if I get Ray to go, but if Ray doesn't go, I'll take my wife.
It's gotta be the weekend. I work the weekends, every other weekend. So yeah,
we'll do it right after the fight, right after November 18th. We'll do it like the week after.
Okay,
we'll go up.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, we have open mat in the morning.
Yeah, Saturday I was gonna morning. Say we're gonna hit Kinetics so too.
Come down Saturday morning. We'll train at 11. Get some good jiu-jitsu training in. We'll go to Phil and Cindy's.
Hell yeah, you can't go
to Phil and Cindy's.
If we go to Jamestown, I go to Phil and Cindy's. It's three doors down from Kinetics. It's the best diner.
Oh, okay.
We're going.
Yeah, little greasy spoon diner. We'll get some lunch. We'll enjoy. I'll bring you to my house and introduce you to my family. You can meet my wife that never ages. and then we'll go feed some kids and do some laundry, man. And yeah, we'll have a good time.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. We're cool. Definitely going to do that. Cool. I'm going to do that for sure. When I say something, I make sure cool. I do it,
listen,
Ray.
Listen, caveman, I'm definitely down for this. Yeah. I need to knock some sense out of my
all right.
My bracket.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, man, I'm gonna go help my wife get the kids put away for the night and spend some time with her. She deserves some time. So I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity here. It seems like there's a lot of things that I wanted to say and talk about, but didn't get an opportunity to do that. So maybe if Jay Wadsworth has a rebuttal or something like that, then I'll come on with a second volley towards him as well. But
yeah, we're going to have to get you in the studio because I didn't even get into my church stuff questions. I got like another 10 questions I didn't even get into.
Oh, man. Yeah, we can do a part two anytime you want, bro. Yeah,
I actually got a great guy. I want to bring you in here with Mustafa. He's a Muslim guy. He's someone I find really moral,
I know.
Too. And the three of us can wrap it out, man. That'd be awesome. I would love to hear that.
That'd be great.
Yeah. And I'll feed you guys, too.
Yeah. I want some Thai food. I've never had Thai food. Does Buffalo have any good Thai food?
Yeah. We got a couple good spots. We took Mark out a couple of times, man. You got to come up when Crew Mark comes up. I'm telling you.
Okay, yeah. But, that's what I want when I come up.
All right, we'll take you out. Karis knows a lot of good Thai places. Not because she's Asian, but because she likes Thai food.
Yeah, sure she doesn't. She's probably really good at math, too. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, stereotypes exist for a reason sometimes.
I suck at math.
Yeah. Well, you tell your wife I said hi.
I will.
She's a beautiful woman, too, and I love her a lot. So.
All right, thanks a lot, man. It was really good having you on. And I got a lot more for you, so you got to come back.
Oh yeah.
Cool. Sounds good, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon, Cam.
All right. We'll see you.
Yep. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know how to hang that thing up, Ray? Yeah. All right. There we go. Yeah. Man, I got a lot of church questions for him, too. He ducked out before I got to the good stuff. I was going to ask him what his views are on other religion. Is the Bible literal or a series of like parables?
Yeah.
Do you believe in big corporate type churches? That's one I really wanted to get into.
Oh, yeah, like that guy from Houston?
Yeah, and I wanted to talk to him about the Paul Burris, the Victory Fight Church. Did you hear about that guy?
No.
Apparently, he got in trouble for bad touching women up there.
It's a church that fights?
Yeah, the Victory Fight Church. We went to fights up there. A lot of guys have fought up there a lot of times.
Let me guess, he put a girl in a guard and...
I don't know the particulars of what happened, and I hate to talk about stuff I don't really know much about.
Yeah, we got to get the facts first.
He seems like a really cool guy. I thought like it was a really good thing for... You know, there's a lot of guys that are out there that have a lot of anger. They don't deal well with anger. MMA is a great sport for it, and having it in a church, I thought that was a great idea. I wanted to talk to Cameron about it a little bit, but I wasn't really sure how to broach the subject because of... The accusations against this guy. I didn't want it to
get
like
the facts first.
Yeah, especially after the Chuck stuff, he felt like a little defensive. We talk about Chuck a lot, but you know, that's good for the listeners because the listeners love that, we get lots of hits.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you really gonna go out there? You're not gonna.
Yeah, I saw the guy. I want to do this.
Yeah.
I got to be a the day I'm off from work.
Okay.
I work every other weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably not going to have time until after the fight. I've been training pretty hard. Okay. But
yeah, I know you've been training. I see them muscles you got.
Yeah, muscles. Yeah.
You got the little python.
Yeah, I got one python.
Yeah, so you look good, Caveman.
Yeah, I'm going to fight that dude soon. We got to get him on the show. You got to work on getting Vince Ciattoli on the show.
Okay.
So we can banter.
Okay.
That one might be quick. I might have to hang up on him. First guest we ever hung up on.
Enough of your shit.
Yeah. I'll see you in the cage.
Bitch.
I don't say that. I never.
Wait, we just had a religion podcast and I said the bad word.
Yeah. I wanted to throw in that Mickey could get his underwear cleaned and his fight shorts cleaned, but like right away he went into like serious stuff, so it was hard to jump the one-liners in.
and then when he was talking about we were talking about the cursing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wanted to say, I know. Fuck yeah, I could curse. Yeah. But then, he kept talking about, somebody passed away.
Yeah.
I feel bad if I wanted to cut him off saying that,
Yeah. So, yeah, it's tough because when we do these interviews on the phone, you have to understand that the people can't see what we're doing. And it's really hard to, like, when you're talking on the phone, you got up to your ear. It's you want to make a good impression on the podcast. It's hard to have a lot of long pauses.
Yeah.
When we're here, we're just like, we wave our hands and we're like, hey, can you shut up for a second so I can talk? But it's tough on the phone. Yeah. It really is tough.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll have to upgrade our technology so we can do FaceTime or something. Yeah, so we can be like, yo, let us talk. Ray's got his one-liners.
I'm like.
He's got to contribute to the show somehow.
He was like, jump in anytime.
Yeah, me and Ray pass notes back and forth. This is how we communicate while we're talking. Sometimes we take the headphones off when I got a funny joke and I whisper in his ear.
Yeah.
Like, because Ray sells drugs, so I was like, it's all your fault that all these kids are getting hooked on stuff. But Ray doesn't really sell drugs, so I'm just joking.
You know, we just joke around.
It was a bad joke for
I don't steal fights either. This is just a joke.
That is not a joke. Ray really did steal the McGregor fight, and I will never let him live it down because I paid $100 for it. And I'm a little bitter. He didn't even invite me over. I'm just, man, sad Ray. Why didn't you steal UFC? I could have came over for that. The FCC is coming to your house, or the cable company, FBI, somebody.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. So who do we got? Got anyone lined up for next week? We gotta get Patchy Mixes back in town too.
Yeah.
We can get him on soon.
We'll get him in. Other Bean should be coming in soon.
Yeah.
Working on some UFC legends. I would like to get in here. And I would like to get some current fighters. So
yeah.
I'm working on
We got to get Pat Mix in here. He's going to be a UFC star, man. I want to get
him in here. For sure. Yep.
And we'll get Saul back in, too. Saul's fighting.
He's fighting again. We got to get him back. You know who I want to get in here?
Who's that?
And you might think it's impossible, but I want to get John Jones in here.
If you could get John Jones in here, that'd be pretty good. He's got not a lot to do right now.
Right. So I'm working on that.
I would never say anything's impossible.
I'm working on that, and hopefully I could get him. And if I get him, I'm the shit.
Yeah. So if you guys listen to this whole thing, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. There's a little button down on the bottom right. I don't know. It doesn't work on my new phone, so... maybe just click on there's a caveman thing. Like if you look down, whatever you're listening on, click on that and subscribe. Same
the video.
Same thing on Podbean. Jesus Christ, I can't even say it. We're on Podbean. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. Whatever you listen to. If we're not on a platform you listen to, talk to me. I'll get it up on that platform.
Yeah,
I'm trying to make this show grow. We could use some sponsors so we can get lights that work.
Yeah.
$100,000 studio is falling apart.
Yeah, we got a freaking Caribbean power outlet here.
Yeah, Jesus
Christ.
It goes
off every 10 minutes.
Every 10 minutes, Ray's got to stand up and wave his arms to get the light back on. So Chris got to fix that socket, man. I can't believe he took it apart.
Yeah.
We got people for that. We're in a nice office building, and he's trying to fix his own electric. These do-it-yourself guys. I don't know.
He's just like my dad. My dad do the same thing.
Yeah. Not me. I don't know how to fix nothing.
I don't know how to fix nothing, too. Sade's disappointed in me. She thought she had a handyman. But I'm a lazy dude when I get home. I just want to watch fights.
You're the only guy that probably couldn't hang up the combo hitter by Brad Kohler.
It took me a long time to get that bitch on there. And we still got to do a video.
Yeah, Brad's like, oh, it's so easy to do.
And we were saying that we're going to do it in the summer. Yeah. Now winter's back.
I know.
It's fall, it's going to be winter. So we got to do that video.
I'm back to being a professional fighter, though, again, Ray. So now I can say professional fighters hitting on the combo here.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh. Good thing we waited.
Yeah, Cayman looks good, man. He got the six-pack. He got the muscles.
Ray hasn't seen me on the mat, so he could say I look good.
But, Cayman, I want to I challenge you that day, you know, to test myself in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to lose, but I want to see if I could last at least 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? Just to test myself, because I know you're a good guy.
Yeah.
You're a brown belt. Uh-huh. You know, I want to test myself against you.
Good. And you weigh probably about as much as Vince, so it's a good matchup.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're about out of here for now. Got any last-minute Mickey jokes before we...
Nah, I like Mickey. He's my little brother.
Yeah.
You know, I bought him some diapers.
That's awful.
That's all I got for Mickey.
That's all you got for Mickey? All right. Well, let's get out of here. You ready, Ray?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's take us out.
All right, fight fans. Coming from the FanJuicy Studios, we are out of here. Peace out.
I don't like the way the new board is set up here.
What the fuck happened here?
I don't know, man. It's a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they downloaded different players, so the music comes up different, and my thing's all messed up. I don't like it. Yeah. I was serious about that camera thing, man. I really felt God in that church. You should go check it out for real.
You know what?
If you're really looking for something spiritual. Dude, I never believed in God, and I didn't believe in churches. And dude, it was a big thing.
You know, when you go to church, you know, like, I haven't been to church in a while, but when I did went to church, I did feel something. I felt good about myself mentally. You know, just a good feeling.
Yeah.
Do something positive. And, you know, I'm not, even though I got this bad image of me, I like to help people.
You're not a bad person, dude. You're a really good person.
I like to help people in need, and, you know, I do whatever I can to help out.
You give money and you give your time to so many different people that no one hears about. You get ripped off. You get taken advantage of sometimes because you're a nice guy. Dude, you are a great person. That's why I like you, and I wanted to have you on the show for real.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, this is like the worst Easter egg ever. It's like all series and stuff. No, not one person's going to laugh at any of this.
I know, they're going to be like, oh, please.
Yeah, this is sad.
I'm like, oh, my God, I waited for the Easter egg, and this is what I get?
Yeah, they're waiting for us to kiss and stuff now. Should ask him what he thought about gays.
You know what? I wanted to ask him, in part two, I would ask him, when he saw the UFC, when he saw Chemo come out with the cross.
Yeah, what he thought?
Yeah, what he thought about that.
No, I had a lot of theology questions too, man. We'll get him next time. We'll see how he does, but I think he's going to be really popular. Plus, anyone that talks about Chuck is guaranteed 100 views.
Yeah, I want to get Chuck in here, man.
Yeah.
I really do. He's a, you know, I like him. He's a character. I like him.
He is.
He speaks his mind. He speaks the truth, and if you don't like it, he don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Maybe you could do a caveman's corner without the caveman.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
We see.
We'll have to do Ray's Gangster Podcast. You can have him on that.
Okay. And we could talk about his brother, Johnny Rat.
Yeah.
John Ratty.
It'll take me like 20 years to teach you how to use his board.
I know, right?
All right, let's get out of here. My family's waiting too. Oh, right. We never even talked about Cameron's kids. Dude, I have so much stuff for Cameron.
We got a part two coming up. Yeah. He was a good guy.
Yeah. All right. And that's it from here.
All right. Adios, amigos.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, dude, I got cauliflower so bad. It hurts to put those headphones on.
Oh, let me see. God. Yo, can I pop it?
No, you can't pop it.